Okay. So, our good friend Albert is still, I believe, is traveling across Morocco. That's where he is. In case you've missed him, wonder where he is. He's actually gone back to, you know, land of his forefathers, land of them. He's actually in Morocco. And I have to actually tell him. I'm excited. I thought he'd be back already. I think maybe back tomorrow, maybe not. Is actually, I've been davening. I've been looking for a place to kind of study in the morning before Shabbat, before davening. And they started an active base medrash up in the Sephardi Kollel, the Toronto Sephardi Kollel, the one that's near Sobeys, that little storefront. Anybody been in there? It's a very pretty shul. It's a very pretty shul inside. And at 6:15, the place is jumping with people learning Bechavrusa. So I've actually been, this week, I've been spending the hour from 6:15 to 7:15 learning. They're doing Daf Yomi myself. I haven't found the Chavrusa yet there. And then while I'm there, I stay ready for davening. So I'm a Sephardi wannabe. I've been getting Birchas Kohanim every day. You know what I mean? You get Birchas Kohanim every day, like the Sephardim do. Wow, this is really like meaningful. So I'm jumping up and down to tell Albert. I know he'll be excited. Like I'm becoming half Sephardi. Okay. Anyways. This is near Sobeys, right next to Sobeys. Right around the corner from me, correct. It's easy. It's a half a mile. It's a half a kilometer. I'm just getting my car and I'm there in a sec.
And is it in the Sobeys Plaza?
Yes, it's in the Sobeys Plaza. Yes, it is.
Because I have a simcha there tonight. I had no idea what the Toronto Sephardi Kollel was.
Oh, it's a very pretty. It's a small. It's not a large room. It's one room. It's a very nice tall ceiling. Has a lovely chandelier. Has a very nice Aron Kodesh. And wow. It's got tables and chairs. I don't know, they'll probably move the tables aside for the simcha tonight. I don't know how many people they're going to get for the simcha. Maybe, I don't think they probably can fit more than 100 people sitting and eating there. It's just really wonderful.
Yeah, it's a reception.
That's whatever it is, but it's a very pretty place. And said it's very nice. It's new. It's new and everything works. So it's very nice.
Where is it specifically in the plaza?
To the left of where the bank used to be. Remember there was a TD Bank?
Oh, right, yeah.
So it's where...
It's where the variety store was.
Right, where the variety store was.
Gotcha. You know,
it's the only thing that the windows are papered up. Okay, they're papered up. It says Sephardi Kollel all over them. You can't miss it. It's right in the middle of that strip between Israel's and Shoppers Drug Mart.
Wow.
Okay, it's very pretty. Very pretty. You'll be there tonight. Oh, I won't be there tonight, but I'm really, it's very nice. It's a good way to start the morning. I'm getting excited about it. And once again, I said, once I'm there ready, you know, I may as well stay for davening. So it's Sephardi, it's like the Sephardi davening, but it's okay. It's close to what we do, close to the regular stuff. And my daughter lives up in Migdal Eimek. I've had opportunity many times to daven with Sephardim. So it's not like for me a brand new type of davening. It's pretty similar to what you do, what you all are doing as well. After, got a little different with the Tachnun a little bit. The end is a little bit different, but it's okay. It's fine. Anyways, here we go. We're going to be doing here this last chapter 9. Let me put it up on the screen for you guys. It's a bit of a longer chapter. Where I put it here. Get rid of the Steinsaltz. It should be over here. Here we go. Chapter 9. Okay, I'll make it a little bit bigger here. Now, the last thing that we had done, we talked about the world was coming apart. We talked about that, you know, all the world war that there was going on during the time of Rav Kook was really a sign of the world civilization coming apart. And things are going down. And because of maybe Christianity or maybe other reasons as well. And this becomes so what? And therefore, this piece we're going to do is therefore the history coming apart or the world coming apart and being unaware where they're doing it and all the frustrations coming out means that history has to lead to the establishment of the land of Israel or the nation of Israel. Or the way that what all this is happening is because history is really leading towards a way in which the Jewish people will have an ability to rise up. And everything is going to be so decrepit that when we create a spiritual centrality, so to show what the light of Hashem is, so people kind of rally around. That's basically the theme of what this is all about. So therefore, the establishment of the nation of Bnei Yisrael going back to Eretz Yisrael is a foundation really for tshuva for Bnei Yisrael. And really, it's the first tshuva for the world. So that's really where this is all going. The topic, what was the topic of the last piece was called? Unhinging of Contemporary Civilization. That's the last thing itself. But in other words, when civilization gets so unhinged and is falling apart, and the foundations of contemporary civilization are really all messed up, which is why we got to the war, whether it means World War I or World War II or future wars and so forth, is less important, is the fact that just things are so really out of whack. This, in the scheme of things, this means the only possible solution is going to be is that Israel is going to come along, and Israel will be establishing itself, and Israel's purpose is to really establish the new world order that everybody's going to realize one day that really is what it's all about. So we're going to set up a world, a land of Kedusha. We're going to set up a land that people are coming close to Hashem. People are going to recognize that's the reality, and suddenly they're going to wake up from their stupor or their self-destructive nature and suddenly feel that they're being uplifted by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's how Rav Kook really understands what's going on. And of course, what makes the Jewish people unique, or what makes the land of Israel unique, is the Kedusha. Right? The nation is holy, the land is holy, we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This, by the way, is very different. This is very different than what you find being written by, you know, the secular Zionists of the era. They're talking about having a land for economic independence, having a land for asylum for Jews. No. We're having a land that's going to bring our Kedusha, the light of Kedusha, to the world, to bring it to ourselves. And eventually we're going to bring it to the world as well. And to quote here from the pasuk that is found in Sefer Yeshayahu, and I had it here for a moment, which Yeshayahu says, "Kumi oreach kiva, kumi ori kiva oreach, uchvod Hashem alayach nilga." So Rav Kook, so the pasuk is, where did I put it here? "Arise, arise, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the land, and thick fog the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you, and the nations shall walk in your light." This is in Yeshayahu Perek Samach, chapter 60. It's one of the Haftorahs we read on the after Tisha B'Av on the way to Rosh Hashanah, the Nechemtim Haftorahs. And it's really what Rav Kook is saying is going on in his era, that things are going down the drain, things are getting so bad that the only way out is really to actually the Jewish people come along, and we're going to build a country that is going to become the center that everybody realizes is the way out of the big morass that everybody's fallen into as well. So we're going to build this country. It's a rebirth of the country. It's the foundation of building of the tshuva of the people, of the Jewish people, and the tshuva of the world that's going to follow afterwards. And as a result, the real Yeshua, the Jewish people, is not going to be by staying in Europe. The real Yeshua, the Jewish people, is by coming to Israel and embracing our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the holiness of Hashem, in the land that's holy itself, and so forth. So it's really about a religious center. That's really the key here to Rav Kook. Very different. For all that Rav Kook reaches out to secular Zionists, the people who are in the kibbutzim, so Rav Kook is also at the same time recognizing that the real purpose of the land of Israel is to create a land of Kedusha, to expose God's light to the rest of the world. It happens to be that, you know what, but in the days of Rav Kook, that's too big for us, but in the days of Rav Kook, see if I can make it just a little bit bigger. In the days of Rav Kook, the religious Zionists were not as strong a group, and consequently, I'll get over it. There we go, that's fine. Okay, in the days of Rav Kook, the religious Zionists were not that strong. So who's developing the land? The non-religious Zionists. So they're building the foundation, but not a foundation for a secular state. Yeah, it is a foundation for a secular state, but they're building a foundation for a secular state that will grease the wheels that when everybody's going to come and wake up, this is the land that is going to be the leader. We're going to turn it into a religious center for the world. Everybody's going to recognize the Kedusha of the land of Israel, and of course the Kedusha of Hashem. That's the approach of Rav Kook. It's actually very, it's very, very narrow in terms of looking at the purpose of the land of Israel. Right? I'm not sure if Rav Kook looked today. What would happen if Rav Kook looked today at the modern state of Israel? What would he say? Well, on the one hand, he'd say, well, we haven't gotten to it yet. And second of all, he'd say, but, you know, we have made progress. There's places to learn. Shabbos is kept in many places. There's a lot of yeshivos, communities, religious communities, etc., etc. But you know what? That's the purpose of the land of Israel. Not the fact that we just have all secular kibbutzim or secular establishments so that we're the startup nation. The startup nation and all this stuff just is really the background material to allow the Jewish community to build a country, a land that's really going to be founded upon the sanctity of Hashem. So this is where, and we're coming through, and we will come through at the last minute to save the world. So this is Rav Kook writing this myth. Remember when he's writing? He's writing this during World War I. World War I, and he's writing it from, of course, outside of Israel. He's writing it from probably from England or Switzerland. probably England at this point. And his point is that, you know what, everything is coming apart, but what's going to be the end of it all? Suddenly Israel comes on center stage. In fact, if you look at the subtitle here, at the hour of the downfall of Western civilization, Israel is called upon to fulfill its divine mission by providing the spiritual basis for a new world order. So, I mean, it almost sounds like, you know, I guess the concern some of you are going to say this looks like pie in the sky. The new world order did not happen after World War I. You're right. The new world order did not happen after World War II. I mean, there was a new world order, but it's not the new world order. It did not get a spiritual basis. There was a new world order after World War I, but unfortunately it was faulted or broken when it was created, and led very quickly in 20 years to World War II. And World War II, the new world order, really led to the Cold War. And the Cold War led to other kinds of issues. And look where we are today with Ukraine and Russia and so forth, and spilling over into different things in China and so forth. So we haven't gotten there yet, but this is what Rav Kook says. Things are going down as a way to the Jewish people to give us an entree to get onto center stage. That's a very unique approach to understanding World War I. There's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way to get the people, force people to look towards the Jewish people, to look to Eretz Yisrael, to look to Hashem, by making the present world go so bad and so dysfunctional that it has to look for another way to kind of replace it. What's going to be? Just like Superman is going to jump on stage, like Spider-Man is going to slide down, and suddenly it's B'nai Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash, this is it. And everybody says, yeah, you're right, this is it. Okay, we must wake up and steal and wake up and find, go there.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yep.
What I was going to suggest, I hope it's not too far-fetched, is that actually since the beginning of, since the establishment of the state, there's been a new Jewish world order.
I don't know what that means. Help me out.
What I mean to say is that since the generations or two since the Second World War, the Jewish eyes have been a lot of Jewish pride, a lot of Jewish vision has been focused on what goes on in Israel,
yeah,
and what happens in Israel,
yeah,
and spiritually a lot of religious Zionists, a lot of everybody,
yeah,
a lot of Jewish people look towards events in Israel, yeah, look towards leadership.
Oh, you're saying Israel. It's created a new kind of identity looking towards Israel. Israel, yes, it's true. And federations have played up on this, that we are one, we're one through Israel. It's true. But what Rav Kook would say, it's not just through Israel. There's got to be a religious coordination, a religious coming together of recognizing that Israel is a state where God is served. I want to be very careful.
That has happened, yes.
Right. I want to be very careful what I say now, because there are some warts in Israel's history that were anti-religious. I mean, there's this right now, without going into it, because I don't know fully the details, they're exhuming a body of a lost Yemenite child. The whole story of the Yemenite children in the 50s who were kidnapped from their parents and raised in secular kibbutzim, right? All of this is, and they finally got permission to dig the body out, and they dug the grave. And here's what the last I read of it: they dug the grave, and guess what they found? There's a body underneath the body. Now they don't know who the next body is. So this is almost as bad as the residential schools. This is like just about to kind of hit the fan, so to speak, guys. But that chapter where they took the religion, the Yemenites were coming to Israel from Yemen, which was very primitive. They came religious from payas, beers, Shabbos, and everything. And they took their children and moved them to the secular kibbutzim to break them away from Shabbat. That's clearly not what Rav Kook is all about. Rav Kook is really all about trying to get everybody to be more religious. And we know that there were factions in the government who wanted to make certain people less religious. That's no secret. So all I'm saying is that we have to recognize we're not dealing with a perfect country, but at the same time, hopefully, one day, on center stage, we're going to find the new world order that everybody recognizes is really Torah. That's what Rav Kook is saying. People don't often realize this is Rav Kook's very narrow vision of what the state is. Rav Kook visions like a state I want to say, it doesn't envision a state like Mei Asharim, but he envisions a state where people are keeping Shabbat, where you have an active society, and the society has a state religion. The state religion is Judaism, and people are keeping the state religion. In the same way that in the shtetl, in the same way that in the little city, the little towns, people kept that religion. Everybody kept Shabbat in the shtetl, you know, and if you didn't, they knew who you were. That was just a given. That's what Rav Kook is trying to say. Why don't we read Rav Kook and then you can see how it develops? Because it's a very special message of Rav Kook. We're talking about not just coming together. We're talking really about coming together to serve Hashem, and the place to do that is, of course, going to be in Eretz Yisrael. So our first job, of course, is going to be to recognize Hashem. That's the role of the Jewish people is to kind of get the world out of its big mess. But the role of the Jew in the Jewish people is to find a way out of the mess, that we can figure what we are and to unfold ourselves in terms of following HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And rebuild the country, I should say, to make a state that will be founded on these values. Okay, this is piece number 9. That's why I told you the last three pieces, 8, 9, and 10, get somewhat interconnected. The last piece was really about the wall. The world is coming apart, right? The world is coming apart. And one day, in fact, he wrote it in the last piece as well. Here, looking at this from the last piece we did. The light of Israel will appear to establish the world with peoples imbued with a new spirit, right? All this mess going on, well, venom and poison, yada, yada. One day that Israel will show up and show a new world. That's the last chapter, chapter 8, chapter 9. Let's do chapter 9. Binyan Ha'olam. Here we go. Binyan Ha'olam. Let me get my pointer here. The building of the world order. The build up of the world, binyan ha'olam, the building of the world, so to speak, the world order, hamit motet koet l'ragnei hasarat hanarod shel cherev mei adam, that is now tottering. Mit motet is like shaking about the collapse at this point, because of l'ragnei in the consequence of the sarot hanarod, these very bad storms, sarah norah is like the storm you had on Shabbat, these intense storms shel cherev mei adam, of a sword covered with blood, all these terrible things going on, demands that there will be the building of the nation of the Israelite nation. Now, Umah here, he means a nation as a nation. He doesn't only mean as a nation, he means it as a nation society. It's not only the Declaration of Independence, this is long before that. He means the people, Jewish people, are going to build their own nation, right? Binyan Umah v'hitgalut rucha, so the building of the nation and the discovery, the uncovering of its spirit, hu inyan echad, is one thing. Now, the building the nation of finding the spirit of Hashem goes together, v'kulohu mochad binyan olam, and goes together, is united together with the building of the world, which at this point, hamit porer, which is coming, be unraveling, umetzapel lekoch malei achdut vel yonot, is mitporer, is unraveling, is crumbling, so to speak, and is looking forward to some kind of uniting power, some kind of supernal uniting power that's going to bring things together. And where is that going to be? V'chol zeh nimtza b'neshamat Knesset Yisrael. Where is that uniting power? It's going to be found in the soul of Knesset Yisrael. Once again, this term that he uses, the Jewish people as a people, Knesset Yisrael, grouped together. He calls Ecclesia Israel, the grouping of Israel. So in other words, the world is tottering. The world is collapsing. You've got all these horrible things going on in World War One. You've got to think back to World War One, trench wars. You've got to think back to all the, you know, think back to all the things that were horrible that went in the First World War. Mechanized warfare, tanks, gas, right? Trenches, hand-to-hand combat, bayonets, guns, and so forth. Howitzers and what do you call it? Cannons. All of this is creating terrible destruction. People, soldiers, societies, villages, towns, right? See what's going on in Ukraine. Now, the Ukraine, the Russians are targeting specifically civilians. You don't have to target civilians to cause civilian damages. We call it collateral damage. So there was a lot of destruction going on in World War One. All of this is going down the drain. Who's going to save it? It requires someone to show up who's going to save it. Who's going to save it? The awareness or the uncovering of the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the force recognizing that is going to bring everybody together. Where is this going to be found? V'nishmat Knesset Yisrael. It's all found in the soul of the Jewish people. The Jewish people are the ones who are going to save the world. Now you're going to say, Rav Kook, how could you write this? Where do you think this is going to happen? Says Rav Kook would say, I'm writing about the history of the world as Jewish history. In my book, there's really no history of France, no history of the United States, no history of England and Germany. No. There's only one history. The history of the world is really the history of Israel. The history of the world is leading to what Israel is. Israel is one day going to be the center. The Jewish people will be the center. We call that Mashiach. We call that the end of time. We call that, you know, the final days. That's where it all goes, guys. So guess what? Anything until that point is eventually going to get there. Maybe it's like far. It's got to be squeezed together. Maybe it's got to be moved across oceans. But that's what history is. That's my history. Anything else is simply really just wall trappings. It's just simply put stuff on the side of the room to kind of give a bit of an ambiance. In this case, it's an ambiance of destruction, but that really just supports everything else. But really, all these to Bnei Yisrael are going to be the ones who are going to come up, and the destruction of the world wars that's happening, which are signs of the crumbling of world civilization, demands that you have the establishment of the nation of Israel. That's what he says. A very powerful statement. It's very, very broad. Very general. People might say, well, it's pie in the sky. It doesn't exist. Yes, but it's what he believes. So what? Let's go on. Ruach Hashem Olei Ba. So the spirit of the Jewish people are going to be the ones who do this. And the spirit of Hashem, the Ruach Hashem, is filled within the neshama of Knesset Yisrael. Ruach Shem Molei Bekirba. It's the spirit of God's full name. The Hashem has different names. There's Yud Kei Vav Kei, the four-letter name of Hashem. There are other names of Hashem. The Shin Dalad Yud. There's Yud and Hey, right? That's like a half name of Hashem. Elohim, but the full value of understanding what Hashem is, you got the full show. The real name of Hashem is found inside of the Knesset Yisrael, the Neshama of Knesset Yisrael. So we're going to have a society which is full of the Ruach Hashem, which is going to be brought to us by the Neshama of Knesset Yisrael. The Eiv Shah LeRuach Adam, and it's not possible for a person, the spirit of a person, Shar Gashad Nishmato Pemetbo, who's got any kind of soul pounding within him, Leot Shokait Beshag Dolazun. You can't be quiet. When you realize that this is where things are going, you just can't sit back and say, I'm going to wait to see what the news is tomorrow. The Germans winning or the Allies winning? What's going on? Is all quiet on the Western Front or all's not quiet on the Western Front? No. You can't just sit back and be an armchair reporter, armchair historian. You read this, you want to see what's going on. Your heart is pounding. You must summon all the powers that are within you, which are, and he's quoting here, Uru v'kumu al tafkidchem. Get up, all the powers that are within you. Get up and arise to your task. Do what your tafkid is. Call Hashem korei b'koach. The voice of Hashem. We're down here in the English and up here in Hebrew. The voice of Hashem is calling with strength. Umit tochiot nishmatenu. And from the midst of the interior of our neshamos, umit nuot hachayim. And from the moving of our lives, anu mavchinim oto. We recognize this. We see this. We distinguish it. So you got to understand that everything that's going on here, the world has gone crazy. The world's gone off the deep end. Things are just coming apart. That's really what World War One was. That's why we talk about like Memorial Remembrance Day was the 11th hour, the 11th month, right? The world was about to come to an end. We pulled the clock back from 12 midnight. We pulled it back 1 hour to one last minute. And we stopped the world from going off the deep end. In Rav Kook's idea, the world is going off the deep end and still goes off the deep end until the Jewish people show up, and they're the ones who actually create a new world order. So you cannot but be impressed, as Rav Kook, that this is really so bad to lead to something that'll be so good. You can't believe that there's purpose in itself, the crumbling of the world order, that this is what is going on and that's how it's going to end. And you can't believe that it's going to just simply be the Allies who are going to win and Germany will capitulate or vice versa, right? We don't know the end of the story yet at this point. It can't be there'll be a victor and there'll be a defeated power. It's about trying to create a new world. Who's going to bring this new world? The Jewish people. You, if you're Jewish, you got this in your heart and you're jumping up and down saying, I'm just waiting for this to happen any day. It's like today, you know, we say, we're waiting for Mashiach. We want Mashiach now. We want Mashiach now. Our problem is you and I sing the song and it doesn't really mean anything to us. Right? We sing, we get together at the end of the Seder, we say, Shana Ba Birushalayim, Shana Ba, we get together at the end of Yom Kippur, Shana Ba Birushalayim, okay, let's go home and break the fast. We don't really feel it. We're not jumping up and down, we're not saying that, I feel the Mashiach's going to come. Maybe we don't feel things are as bad. World War One was pretty bad. Rav Kook is saying the only way out of this is the Jewish people going to enter center stage. To some extent, by the way, before you guys all jump on this, to some extent, it's correct. Because what happens after World War One? What's one of the conclusions? Balfour Declaration. Balfour Declaration was a major step. We don't even remember when is Balfour Day on the calendar. You don't even remember it. It used to be celebrated, not when I was a kid anymore, but before the state was founded in 1948. Balfour Day, I think it's in the beginning of November. Someone can look it up. Balfour Day was the day that the Balfour Declaration was declared, in which the letter was written, right? His Majesty's government views with favor the establishment of a Jewish state or something for the Jewish homeland, for the Jewish people in Palestine. That was unbelievable. That came out of World War One. Now, of course, it didn't right away happen in 1918, when the war was over, that there's a new state. There has a lot of bumps and humps and a lot of hiccups going back and forth. It's not so simple. But clearly things happened. Clearly more Jews started moving to Israel. The yeshuv begins to develop in the interwar period between World War One and World War Two. People are very happy in Poland and Europe. They're not leaving. Their things are settling down. And, you know, and no one believes in what's going to happen in Germany, which it will happen. They don't believe it. In fact, I think I've mentioned to you that when Hitler came to power, there were a number of the Choshev Rabbanim who thought this was the greatest thing for the Jewish people. Thought he was going to make settle things down, bring back a little kavod to Germany, and this would be a great place to live. How wrong they were. How mistaken could they be? But believe it or not, it didn't take them long to understand how wrong they were. But initially, they thought this was the guy. It's like, you know, you see candidates running for office. Is this candidate good for Jews or not good for the Jews? Who isn't? We don't know. You never know till they're in the office what they really think. So, and anyway, bottom line is, things did begin to happen after World War One that Rav Kook, you can see within the words of Rav Kook. But Rav Kook is saying the ultimate purpose of this whole big mess is the Jewish people are going to be waking up and show the world what there really is. And you, therefore, says Rav Kook, he's writing to his readers. He says, you, all you guys, including me, you have to wake up. Wake up! You got to wake up now. You can't sit back and say nothing is happening and we're just waiting. We'll wait till Mashiach shows up. No, our souls are pounding within us. And what do we have to do? And we have to wake up ourselves. We have to say, "Kumu, kumu, uru v'kumu k'al tafkichem." Your body's got to get to the task, which means get to Israel. Yisrael muchrach lachsof et makor chayav. The Jewish people have to uncover the source of its life, which is what? Of course, Torah, God, spirituality, lamod hachen al ragle of yav haruchani. To be able to stand aware, hachein, muchan, prepared, on the feet of our characteristic, our spiritual characteristics. We gotta be aware of who we are spiritually, which is what? Me goy gadol asher lo Elohim krovim elav. It's a pasuk from the Torah. Who's a great nation like you to whom God is close? Asher Elohim krovim elav. Who is that? It's a rhetorical question. You, the Jewish people. That's who we are. What do we stand for? Some nations stand for certain things. I don't know. Swiss stands for yodeling. English stand for behavior, proper behavior. Jews stand for Me goy gadol asher lo Elohim krovim elav. Who's close to Hashem. That's what the key characteristics of Jews are. Umo hayadat of Yoshelahel. Who is the nation who knows the characteristics of Hashem? Okay, that's what it is. I don't know where that pasuk is taken from, also from the Tanakh. Hatarbut ha'olamit mitnodedet. The tarbut, the civilization, the world civilization is mitnodedet, is shaking. Nidud is l'shake, is tottering around before, is about to fall over. Ruach adam nechlash. Man's spirit is weakened. The ethical, moral values of Western civilization are coming apart. Mechashechim machasim et kolamim. From the choshech, from the darkness that covers all the people. And achoshech ha'se'aretz v'arafa lomim. The darkness will cover the earth and the fog will cover the nations. That pasuk from Tehillim, I think. So all this is going on. What we thought was going to be an enlightened world in the 18th, 19th century, when we had the Renaissance and all kinds of culture developed and people became more adept and there were changes in society and people became learned and lettered. I don't mean Jews. I mean the world societies became more learned and lettered and people were not just peasants. We thought that was a change in the world. Guess what? All of this is covered by the darkness of World War One. The world is collapsing, pulling into itself. And when you see that, say, what do we do? I'll tell you what we do. Our part in the war is not just getting into the trenches. Our part in the war is saying, Me goy gadol shel Elokim krovim elav. Who's like us? Who's like Hashem? What are we going to do? We got to shout about the importance of setting up a world order around Hashem. So the hasha'igia, the time, the hour has come, writes Rav Kook. The hour has come. Let me just move it up a little bit higher. The hour has come. She or olam, the light of the world. Or elokim emes, the light of the God of truth. Or elokim Israel, the light of the God of Israel. Hamitgale ayedei ayadam amo, which is going to be revealed by his people. That's us. Amplayim, the wondrous people, people of Pella. Tzarechulet galot bakarat, has to be unrevealed. I made aware until we understand it. And the recognition has to go internally within ourselves. We, the first step before anything else happens, we got to first recognize who we are. To recognize the unity of our power, of the power that we have within us, which is what? To recognize the God that dwells within us. There's something unique about the Jewish people. We're not just another one of the peoples of the world. We're not a part of just one of the nations of the United Nations or the League of Nations. We're just not simply another country. We're not just another piece of real estate in the middle of the Mideast. We are a special, unique people that have a special spiritual relationship with the Almighty. That's what Rav Kook says. Now, this sounds very parochial, very defined. It says, who's going to believe in this? Rav Kook believes in this. You believe in it. I believe in it. Of course we're the people of Hashem. Don't we all believe in it? Rav Kook is saying, you got to be more forceful, more evocative. You got to really live this and say this. And that's what this world, that's what is happening now. You got to recognize the world is caving in, and if you don't do something, nobody else can do anything. This is the time of our calling. This is the moment when this is all happening, is to allow us to get on the center stage. I mean, it sounds, since that's crazy kind of stuff. I don't mean crazy, but unusual kind of stuff. But that's what Rav Kook is writing. Once again, the basis. Yeah. Thank you for letting me get a breath.
To me, you know, being a Jew, it all sounds like he's absolutely right, Rav Kook.
Right.
Except that the rest of the world, you know, the Islamic world thinks that they're the ones who are closest to God, and they're the ones who should impose the New World Order, or the Christians think they're the ones, you know, that they've got the right answer. Yep. So they're not going to buy into this, that we're the ones that are going to be the center and establish the New World Order because of our closeness to God. Right. They think we're far away.
Correct. So the answer is, part of the answer is A, Rav Kook does not give you the specifics. He gives you the general lines here. And B, you've got to first believe it yourself. See, the question is not to ask, well, how am I going to get the Christians to believe it? Or how am I going to get the Islam to believe it? The question is, how am I going to get Shelley Golowinski to believe it? How am I going to get Moshe Yeris to believe it? How do I really believe that this is the purpose of what the Jewish people are here? You know what? We're all very happy. You know what my purpose is? I got up in the morning, I went to the Sephardi Kollel, I learned from 6:15 to 7:15, I davened with the Sephardim, I came home, I looked over my class, I'm teaching in class this morning, hasta la vista, baby, we're good. You know what? I'm living in Thornhill. Alright, you know what? What goes on in the world goes on in the world. We're here, I'm here, I'm there. I got kids in Israel, Sameach, we're good, we're fine. Okay, let's keep going. No! Rav Kook would say, Yeris, put a fire under your tail. Yeris, you got to recognize this is the time. And Rav Kook is writing in a very difficult time. Rav Kook is writing in a time where people don't even have a symbol they can look at. Maybe I don't feel as strongly and you don't feel as strongly today because, well, we got us to the land of Israel. It exists. Okay, we got what we need. We know, we're fine. Okay, so we don't have it exactly as it is, but there's a land of Israel. There's a society of Israel. There's an economy of Israel. They solved COVID before we solved COVID. And then they're back to normal. People are filling the planes of Phil going flying to Israel. Everything is good. So I don't feel the need to kind of wake up. In the days of Rav Kook, he's saying, you Jews got to wake up. He's speaking to the Jews. He's not speaking to the Christians. He doesn't expect the Christians to read his book. His book is written in Hebrew. He's speaking to his people. Your people, my people, me, you. He's saying when you living in 1915 or 17 or 16 or 15 and you're seeing what's going on, the whole purpose the world is caving in is not because God is bad, not because there's destruction, not because God is dead, but because this is to enable us to be able to move forward. And that message is actually correct. That out of the ashes of World War I comes and builds the greater purpose to move to Eretz Yisrael. That is true, in one form or another. It doesn't mean the day after the armistice of Versailles that they suddenly declared a state of Israel. Of course not. But it doesn't mean that something came out of it. And then it also doesn't mean, by the way, they made a secular state of Israel. It means that you got to recognize Israel as a secular state is simply just part of what you're going to do as a religious state or as a spiritual state. But you can't get a spiritual state in Israel unless you get a state. You can't observe the mitzvot in Israel unless you're in Israel. You can't get everybody centered around God unless you got people. That's what he's trying to say. So forgive me for getting so excited, but this is an excitable piece. This is what he's writing. He's saying, wake up, wake up, wake up. Wake up, get up.
We still need to wake up. That's the thing.
Right, we still need to wake up, okay? You know what? You say it every Friday night in Kabbalah Shabbos, right? Hisori, Zori, Kumi, Orek, get up. Right? Until that's why, by the way, you know, the whole idea of singing L'chadot, the first ones you do slowly, then you do fast, and you dance and everything else. And then you're feeling you're getting, things are waking, the Shechina is waking up from the exile. That's the Chadodi. Rav Kook is writing this about going back to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kook is saying, you want to know for you and me what's the purpose of World War One? The purpose of World War One is to recognize that there's an opportunity for us here. And the opportunity is not going to happen unless we recognize what the opportunity is ourselves. But the others, that's really down the line. I can't even get to that yet. Okay, by the way, you will see, not in the next section, but in the next, not the next section 10, but the next piece, there's a whole, the third section that comes after these 10 pieces, Rav Kook actually really talks about the negativity of what Christianity has done. Very, very interesting piece. He goes through it, but he believes that Christian society has taken the world down the wrong path, and they took things from us, and they only took certain things from us, and that made it even worse. And therefore, our job is to kind of get it all back. When I get it back, we get the world back. Anyways, I'm going to go back here because this is really exciting stuff. Thank you. Okay. Excuse me. Let me just take a drink. Okay, so what do we got to recognize? We got to recognize that God lives in us. I'm sorry, I'm going to go back here. To recognize the God who rests within her, within the Jewish people's soul. And when you have this recognition that there's God within her, within the soul of the Jewish people, takir echla sofit mabua chayeha. You will learn and understand how to tap into the mabua chayeha, the spring of her life. Well, you're going to know what to do with this. Teda lahamir chazon emdata makoram. See, once you get in touch with the center, understanding the recognition of what you're supposed to do, and you understand that's the real purpose of life, then you will figure out, you'll figure out how to establish the vision, the redemptive vision, chemdon emdasa, amakoram, and see on its essential sources. In other words, he doesn't tell you how to do it, but he says, you know what, when you'll get this far, the second part will open up. It's like going into a Mario game. When you get to a certain point, you get to the next level. Lolashev mi birod zarim. Not to kind of pull water from other foreign sources, from foreign wells. He kruya kim ledalot mi mamakea. Rather, you got to pull the water from your own depths, which is really, of course, he's talking about. So you got to tap your own depths. You're going to draw the will from the depth of your prayers. You're going to bring life from the well of Torah. You're going to bring strength. He calls this, what does he call this? Strength from the root of your amunah, belief. Sidur, you're going to organization miyosher sichla, from the straightness of your knowledge. Gvura, strength, meozrucha, from the strength of your spirit. Vakala ola shifrurish shameha, and everything that rises over the shamayim that is the clear. He calls it halakon, clear heavens. Hakol miruach elokim ramachevet amaloha yakum mimei brishis ad achrid. Everything is really coming from the existence, the spirit of Hashem that hovers over the fullness of the existence from the days of creation until the end. All of this that we got is in there, is coming from Hashem. It's all given to us. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's purpose in putting us there from the moment the world was created. The creation of the world, the 6 days of creation, every physical thing in this world, inanimate, animate, living, moving, plant, animal, is really human, is meant for the Jewish people. Is meant to bring, to create the Jewish people, because that's the purpose of what the world is. So you got to look at this in one line. Because people say, well, we don't believe in God. We don't believe in the Bible either. But the Rav Kook would say, when it says, at the end of the sixth day of creation, Vayera Vayvoker Yom Hashishi, the sixth day, Right, all the other days is Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Ravi, Yom Chemishi, Yom Hashishi, the sixth day. Rav Kook would say, Rav Kook would quote you the Medrash, the Tower of Kook, the Medrash says it, the sixth day of the sixth day of Sivan, which is Shavuot, we're a couple of weeks away. Right, now the whole purpose of what Shavuot is, giving the Torah to whom? To the Jewish people. The whole purpose of the whole creation of the world, from beginning to end, the whole existence of the world and everything that's there, is for the Jewish people. The whole purpose of everything you're living through is for the Jewish people. That sounds very parochial. It sounds very, I would say, racist, but it's very unique to the Jewish people. What the others don't believe in. I don't care if the others don't believe in it. Do I believe in it? Rav Kook would say. I got to make sure that I recognize that the whole world is there really as stuff, wall trappings to what my life is. Not my life, the Jewish people's life. I just have to be a little dot in the Jewish people. So, from the beginning of the days of creation until the very end. Everything is for the Jewish people. History, world history, is Jewish history. I am the I am with you, says Hashem Tzvakot. The thing that I promised you, or set with you, when I took you out of Egypt. And my spirit is with you, and don't be afraid. That's a taken from one of the Nevi'im. I can look it up in a minute. Chumash Navi says this in 95. This is Navi 95 is going to be, who we got here, Mr. 95. 95 is from Chagai chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Okay. So now the whole purpose, everything that I promised you, is really, I'm going to be with you, don't be afraid, I'm with you. See, this is a very simple saying, just all you got to do, what's your life, what are you going to do? Remember, Hashem is with you. I took you out of Egypt, I promised you I'm going to be your God, my spirit stands in your midst, don't be afraid. That's what Chagai told his people on the second base of Mikdash time, the beginning of Second Temple. We need to put that on our walls, maybe put it in front of us, put it on my dashboard. Okay. Moving right along here, back to the story again. So what's going on here? I think one more paragraph, right? Yeah. Okay, one more paragraph. Okay, it's just as powerful. Where am I? Second, lost the page here. Yeah, one more paragraph. Okay, call it Tarmiot Shibolam. What will happen in the future? So notice, until now he's talking to you and me. When this all happens, when all Jews get their self in gear, when all Jews recognize that our purpose is really serving Hashem, and we understand what our soul is, we understand that that's what we got to do, and that's what our role is in this world. It's not to be the startup nation, it's to be the Torah nation, or to be the God nation, the startup God nation. So, Kol HaTav B'Yoshev Olam, when we do that, all the worlds and the civilizations, Yitchadshu Aydei Chidush Rochino, they will be renewed through the renewal of our spirit. Kol HaDeyot Yashru, all the opinions will be straightened out. In other words, the arguments and the disagreements and the wars will all get figured out. All the life is going to be relit with a birth of new rebirth. When we merge, when we stand up straight. All the nations will put on new clothing. In other words, they're going to be new nations, new values. They're going to take off the dirty garments they're wearing. They're going to take off all the bad values, the destructive values that enhance or support what they're doing. All the negativity, all the fractiousness, all the divisiveness, all the badness and crookedness. They're going to wear precious garments like royal garments. Yaznichu et kol pigol. They're going to throw away all the abominations. Kol tomei, anything that's tomei. Kol tiyuv, anything that's disgusting. Shebet kirvam, that's in their midst. They're going to throw away all. There'll be no war. In other words, everything's a new society. When's this going to happen? When we recognize who we are. Vidachdu linok mitalei orot hakodesh. And they're going to come together to suckle. How they translate this? Yeah, to suckle from the dew, from the light of the holy light of Hashem, Asher huchnu me'az l'chol goy l'chol olam b'bnei Yisrael, which has been prepared and pre-established in the well of Israel, not just for Israel, for every nation, every individual. God has a role for every nation. It may be that we're the center, like we're the lead character, but it's not that not all the nations are going to become Jewish. They'll recognize Hashem, but they all have a role, a good role, a proper role, an ethical role, an upright role. And that's going to happen when? When we recognize our role. If you don't have the main man in the play, You can play, the play can't go on. The play can't continue. You need your main protagonist. You have extras on the side. You can fill them in. You got minor parts. You can get an understudy to carry them. No one will notice. But your main lean character goes out sick. Your play is in distress. You got to teach someone the part right away, brand new, to be able to fill in. Berachas Avram l'chol goyei haaretz v'chol pulotel b'takev u'begaloi. The blessing of Avraham, which is really a bracha to all the nations, of the earth. Because what is Avraham? Avraham is v'nivrachu b'chol kalmish b'chol to adama, and you will be blessed, all the nations of the world. That's the bracha Kadosh Baruch Hu gives to Avraham when he first opens up in Parshas Lech Lecha. And you will be blessed, all the nations. Not just in your children will be blessed. All the nations will be blessed in you. You're going to be able to give the bracha to all the people, except that you're in the center, and your children are in the center. And all, and based upon this foundation, it's going to begin mechadash again. We're going to start again building the land of Israel. So once, what's Rav Kook saying? Here's the process. Part one. We Jews have to recognize what we are centrally, which is to, of course, the voice of Hashem, the center of Hashem, the role of Hashem. That's what we do. When we really do this and get this thing, get it really part of ourselves, the nations of the world will recognize it as well. And then what happens, part three, we're going to rebuild, restart up building our land, a land of Eretz Yisrael, which is going to be a land, of course, is founded on the Jewish values. HaChurban HaChshavi, the present destruction, HuChanat Chiyah Chadasha, is the preparation for the new renaissance, the new coming back to life, tchiyah, like tchiyah demetim, the renaissance of society, the new amuka v'ofyanit, which is going to be very deep and very profound. It's all going to happen. Or chesed elyon min totzeitz. The light, upper light of Hashem is beginning to twinkle. Hashem's grace, His chesed, is beginning to nitzutz, is beginning to sparkle, is beginning to shine, you know, like a candle flickers. That's starting now. Shem Hashem Eyeh Asher Eyeh Holech Mitgaleh. The name of Hashem, which is Eyeh Asher Eyeh, which is like the Shem Avaya, is becoming revealed. And Havu Godel Elokeinu, give praise, give greatness to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. He ends up with a psukim there once again to kind of wrap it up. So in other words, Rav Kook is saying, don't be concerned how the nations are going to read this. And they're going to say, ah, it's just Rav Kook writing it. No. First, you got to recognize yourself. When you recognize the uniqueness of Jewish people as the Kedusha and recognize how holy we are, then what's going to happen? We're going to realize we're going to set the stage. When that happens, so the salvation, the Yeshua of Ibn Yisrael, is going to impact upon the rest of the world. How do we get there? So how do you get there? You got tefillah, talked about Torah, Munah. You can't be afraid to stand independently on the source of our foundations. You can't be afraid of what will the goyim say. Got to stand up for where you are. And if we really look to build this up, then it's a sign that all the people to turn to us. Our tshuva, our turning back, and will cause the downfall. The other cultures that are falling down will also be impacted by it. It'll bring joy, it'll bring happiness to the world. And the Ummah Yisraeli, the Jewish kingdom of the Jewish people, will change will create a change in the world itself. And the role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will unfold in the rest of the world. That, of course, leads you to a time of Mashiach. Now, how does this all happen? I don't know. Okay, I don't know, right? But here's what Rav Kook is saying. This is what the war is trying to, this is the purpose, one of the purposes of the war. When you say, what's going on in World War I? Why was it so bad? What's this all about? Rav Kook says it's so bad that we could be good, that we could stand out, that we have the opportunity. And did we? Yeah, to some extent, okay? But then, of course, the question really comes back to us, is this World War I or World War I plus World War II? World War I plus World War II plus the next 100 years? What is it? When does it stop? What is Rav Kook talking about? Has things changed? The answer is yes, 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 and still have savlanut, patience, patience, patience. We're on the road. But that's what it's really all about. So Rav Kook, in deep down, Rav Kook's land of Israel is a land of Israel that's founded on Jewish values, Jewish mitzvot, centrality of Hashem, belief in Hashem, emunah, bitachon, mitzvot, Torah, and so forth. The people building the land in the days of Rav Kook were to be commended, because guess what? If nobody gets down on the dirt, you're never going to start anywhere. So they're the starting, they're the foundation. But you know, you got to work on that foundation, get them closer to Hashem, get others to come in there, and soon enough, and sooner or later, we'll recognize the power of Hashem and who we are. And then the rest of it comes together. So this is this very really powerful piece about Rav Kook itself, and that's really going to lead to the next time we're going to deal with the election of Israel, when the Jewish people are chosen. The election of Israel is also a little bit known. What do people say? They think we're not chosen. They think the Christians are chosen. We'll have to see what Rav Kook says, but you get the general idea of where this is going at this point. So this is really, this is moving along. The last piece is, I know you got into the middle of that, middle of this piece about the war. People were not quite sure where things were going. It looked like we fell off the map a little bit. What does he really mean? What's going on here? Where is this going? You're coming out to the end of it. It's really leading to a crescendo. So we got a lot of work out there to do, each of us, right? Each of us. We're a little drop, but put all the drops together, you get a big pool of water. So we can't be the big pool of water unless we're all little drops. So we just kind of got to keep dropping along, moving along, and bringing ourselves up there. There you go. Okay, comments? Wow, powerful.
Very powerful.
Very powerful.
Very powerful. I guess it explains in a way how Jews or Israel is always sort of the center, big center of attention when it comes to the news media, even though we're such a small portion of the population.
It also underscores the fact that why people hold us to a higher bar.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's where the double standard with Tzahal and everything and in Israel.
Right. Someone just sent me that Rafael said that Balfour Day is November 2nd. Right, thank you. But you're the only one who may remember that Balfour Day is November 2nd, Rafael. Nobody else remember. We don't keep it. Why? Because Balfour Day has been replaced by everything else. Balfour Day was replaced by November 25th, which was Partition Day. Partition Day was the day in 1947 when the United Nations agreed to partition Israel. That was when the vote was made. So that also was an important day, right? And then, of course, we only recognize Yom HaTzimut and Yom Yerushalayim. Those are the days that can keep for us. But there are a lot of other days that occurred during the calendar, believe it or not. You gotta go back and look at the early Zionist calendars from the before 1948, all the days that they kept. Balfour Day was an important day. Not my age. I'm born in 1954, so by the time I went to school in 1960s, 60 and 60s, nobody talked about Balfour Day. You didn't know who he was even. It was just ancient history. I'm sure you go back a generation, those who can remember, my parents could remember celebrating Balfour Day. It was like an Israel day. A real event. That was a major breakthrough for the British government to write that His Majesty's government looks with favor at the establishment of a homeland for the Jewish people in the land of Palestine. That's pretty much the wording there. That was like, that's unbelievable. It changed the world. And later, of course, they backtracked and there were white papers and other things that took place and the Arabs got upset. But that statement, and was written down, right? It's always been going to be recorded. Really changed a lot of things. So that's kind of comes across there. Anyways, there you go.
My father told me stories how in Bergen-Belsen after the war in the DP camp, they sat around the radio listening to the UN vote.
Yeah. Yes.
In New York for the partition. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine being able to listen to that live.
Yeah. Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
All these survivors.
Vote by vote, and being a survivor listening to it. And can you imagine, that was an advanced form of communication, having a radio.
Yeah.
Right? There you go. Okay. What have we done? Look, we've got the internet at our fingertips. Okay, we got to use these things wisely. And once again, that's really the key here, is how Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the world. We got to recognize what our purpose is. There we go. Who's listening to this message? Well, we're all listening to this message. We all play a little role, and that's where Rav Kook wrote it. And the fact that it's translated to English now for us makes it available for us to really understand and make it applicable. Have we gotten there yet? No. Sablanut? Yeah. But things clearly are better today than they were in the 19 teens when Rav Kook wrote this. Clearly. So we're doing something. Some people are doing something. The Rav Kooks of the world, we're doing something, and we're doing our little role itself. Okay, I think we'll stop here. There's a good place to put a point on it.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay,
thanks,
have a wonderful
everybody.
Day. Yom Tov. Good day, guys. Okay.
Thank you.
I'm leaving tomorrow. Yes, we're driving tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you.
Safe trip. Mazel tov.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow, yes.
Right, okay, we'll see you, Mr. Shem, on Monday, okay? Good, thank you, okay.
Safe travel.
Thank you very much, thank you.